Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Midweek Takeaway on this fine Monday morning, and welcome Paul from Amazing AI. How's things going?
Very good. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. Just looking out in my cloudless Cairo sky. What's it like in London?
It's actually a bit of blue sky today. Looking good.
Very good. Very good. Okay, so tell us what's been happening with Amazing AI over the last week or so. I know you've been in London for a few days meeting clients and brokers, etc. So give us an update of what's been going on.
Yeah, so we've been focused on getting added to the retail platforms, getting the message out about our stock. So, you know, we've now been added to where, you know, most UK retail investors can now quite easily buy our stock and have heard about the stock. We've had a dramatic increase in trading volume in the stock. And late last week, I decided to, in essence, change my existing loan agreement so that we don't need to raise any more equity at this stage, and we will fund the growth of our business in the near term utilizing my £5 million debt facility.
Okay, very good. What made you make that decision then?
In essence, diluting around these sort of prices doesn't make a lot of sense. I own 38.1%, and I see a lot more upside by utilizing my debt capital in terms of my equity position at these sort of prices. So we see a good opportunity to leverage up the core business in loans in the US at 59.9%, so to gain the revenue off that, and in addition to utilize my debt facility for increasing the exposure to the crypto treasury policy.
So there's people trying to undermine this business in the US that you've got. So explain to us a bit more the uptake on that, and you know, how quickly do you think you will get from sort of A to B in terms of the lending starting?
So the business in the US has always had much more demand than capital or funds available. We've lent out $17 million in small $5,000 loans in the past inside that business. So we have, to give you an example, 20,000 customers in our database who have applied for loans in the state of Georgia, where we can lend out at 59.9%. So we're in the process of going back to them now to quickly ramp up new loan volume. So, you know, with the deploying of my capital, we can very, very quickly lend out funds. In the past, we've lent out as high as $1 million in 1 month in our business to give people an idea of how quickly we can deploy capital. But by increasing various marketing initiatives, we can, you know, be many multiples as high as that. But if we did it, if we looked at it on the basis of what we've done in the past, then, you know, we could be deploying $5 million within 5 months quite easily.
Okay, and you fully anticipate that that's more than doable. I mean, how many clients do you need to do it at that level to get the $5 million going?
Yeah, so our rejection rate in the past has been 95%. So we're very careful in our underwriting policies. But as I said, we've been able to lend out 200,000-300,000 a month very easy. So you don't need a lot of customers at $5,000 loan amounts or 10,000 per customer to do that, when you consider that our lending licenses cover 100 million people in the US in terms of population.
Yeah, so at 5,000 per loan, you are talking about, let's just do the maths here, sorry. You're only talking about 1,000 loans, aren't you? It's not a huge amount.
Not a huge amount of people compared to, as I said, 100 million population in our licensing.
Very good. Okay, so let's move on to the main event. Let's talk about, you know, the Bitcoin, Ethereum. You know, you even mentioned in the past that, you know, you could even be looking at the Trump coin. And I see there was an announcement there about Trump and crypto.com out there over the weekend as well. So tell us a little bit more about the story. And people are asking, how is this going to work? So I suppose from my question from people is, explain a bit more how this is going to work.
So in essence, as we've announced, we will be initiating our first trades in our crypto treasury policy this month. Approximately around the middle of the month is the aim. As we've said, we needed to go through a variety of hoops with legal sign-offs and regulatory barriers in terms of what we're doing, and we gained full sign-off for that last month. In essence, we'll be purchasing well out of the money call options over Bitcoin as an initial trade that will gain us exposure of up to 100 times the value of, instead of investing $1 into Bitcoin. To give you an example, without giving away the secret sauce or being front-run or the exact details, if we were to buy a long-dated call option over Bitcoin at a strike price of 300,000, for instance, and Bitcoin was to go to a million within the next 5 years, we would be making 700,000 per position or per dollar deployed. So 1 million of exposure or investment into this strategy, if Bitcoin was to go to a million, would generate 70 million of profit with no tax, being out of Mauritius with no capital gains tax. If on the other side, Bitcoin was to collapse to zero in the next 5 years, then we would be purchasing approximately 50,000 put options over Bitcoin. And for every million of premium purchase, we would be making 50 million in the reverse if Bitcoin went to zero. So if Bitcoin moves outside of a range, in this example, anywhere lower than 50,000 in the next 5 years, or higher than, say, 300,000 in the next 5 years, then we would be making significant returns on our capital. So that's, as a basic example, gives people an idea of the strategy.
Okay, so I've got a question then. If Bitcoin goes to, let's say, 180,000, okay, how much more valuable is that option during that time frame?
So the options will move around in terms of pricing. It depends on the volatility, the demand and everything else. But to give people a very rough idea, you'd be expecting 5 to 10 times the value of that current premium on that sort of increase if it was to happen in the short term. So if you were, 1 million into the premium and it was to go up to those sort of levels, you'd be expecting that premium, subject to those other variables, to be costing more around 5 to 10 million. So, you could be up 500% on your initial purchase.
Okay, so from a cost perspective, when you do this in mid-October that you're talking about, what sort of exposure in these first trades do you expect to have in terms of the millions of Bitcoin or millions of dollars, I mean?
So we're anticipating purchasing around half a million as a sort of first exposure or trade. So we'd be having around 50 million of exposure to Bitcoin. In addition to that, it depends on the level of drawdown of my loan facility to see how much we will purchase and when. But we have that capacity to be up to 5 million of exposure in the very quite short term.
Okay, so what we're talking about by the mid-October, end of October at the latest, you're going to have sort of exposure to 400 plus Bitcoin. That would be fair to say.
Correct. That's the aim.
Yeah, up and down, obviously, in terms of, and I'm sure there is some secret stuff in there that you don't want to tell us as well, that it's not quite as simple as putting a call option. Just because my economics degree was actually partially in this, I'm going to explain that if you think about a put, it's close to the word S, which is sell. So put is sell, and the other one is call, which is close to B, which is buy. So that's how I remember it. Put and call, and there you go.
That's how you passed your exam, Kevin.
I did. That was how I
That's
passed the exam
a secret.
many years ago. Anyway, so you're in London. There is a lunch that you're having. What day is the lunch on?
It's on Wednesday.
Okay, so there's a lunch on Wednesday. If anybody's interested in attending that lunch to meet Paul and have a discussion about the company, then, you know, give us a call or mention it on the groups, and I can put you in touch with the people who are organizing that if you wish to go. So, Paul, any last comments before we go?
I think that's it. I mean, obviously, the interest in new price highs in Bitcoin and everything else, institutional investment continues to flow into this and retail demand. So we think there's a very bright future being exposed to crypto treasury over the next few years.
Yeah, and we're recording this obviously Monday morning. The shares are up about 20% this morning. And I think the flipping of the 1p shares is pretty much coming to an end. There isn't very much stock out there, and hopefully that's going to provide a good platform for some capital growth in the stock.
Yeah, there's certainly been no selling out of Australian investors or myself or anyone like that. So there has been a bit of churn between people who are, you know, happy to make a quick return. But we think the stock is now pretty much in the hands of long-term believers in the story who are there for a much larger gain.
Very good. Pleasure speaking to you again, Paul. And I look forward to being updated when you make these first purchases and speak in a week, 10 days time, I presume.
Yes, for sure. Thank you very much.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.